David just mentioned, familiar ground. And to me, this is familiar ground. One of the only two times that I can really be sure that God spoke to me, probably because I wasn't listening the rest of the time, I'm sure, but was I woke up one night from a dream and God had said to me, John 6, 63. So I wrote it down on an envelope in my old Bible, which I meant to bring along with me. And I read it in the morning, and it is thus: what gives life is God's spirit. Human's power is of no use at all. That's the first bit, and that really got me through many difficult times over the years. I'll continue. The words I've spoken to you bring God's life-giving spirit, yet some of you do not believe. Jesus knew from the very beginning who were the ones that would not believe and which ones would betray him. And he added, "This is the very reason I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father makes it possible for him to do so." Because of this, many of Jesus' followers turned back and would not go with him anymore. So he asked the 12 disciples, "And you, would you also like to leave?" Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. And now we believe and know that you are the Holy One who has come from God."
So we have the PowerPoint up. This is the problem with the crowd. Is that going to click up there? Right. Problems with Jesus. They had problems with Jesus. Let's start off with a who is it? I'll give you some facts about someone, and you've got to try and tell me who you think this is. Right, it's said of them recently, they found a way to transcend borders and be a source of light. Who's that? They found a way to transcend borders and be a source of life. No? Okay, here's another clue. They are from Tennessee. That's narrowed it down, hasn't it? One more. But they're known to have a strong sense of justice. They expressed anger at a policy backed by the Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn, which legislated against domestic violence victims. So, strong sense of justice. Have you got the person yet? Sorry? Is it Taylor Swift? Let's see. Is it Taylor Swift? Well, this person recently got an award, also given to 14 US presidents, including Donald Trump, five leaders of Russia or the Soviet Union, including Vladimir Putin, three popes, and Adolf Hitler. They are the Time Magazine Person of the Year, which is Taylor Swift, a billionaire. She's now worth $1.1 billion. Billion dollars. How about that? How do you spend that? Let's find out. And she is, for those of you who have not come across Taylor Swift, she is a singer-songwriter. And for doing that, $1 billion. A person brought up in a Christian home and has not rejected her Christian faith, but to call her a source of light, I think I know what they meant by that, but not that sort of godly source of light. The thing about light is that it's great when it's there and it's lovely when it's about this level, but when it's really bright, the light can be rather penetrating and overwhelming. I don't think she's overwhelming, but sometimes the light of Jesus is overwhelming. It's a bit too much. And so we have a problem with Jesus from time to time. Certainly, we know other people do. Here's their reaction. So many of his disciples said, "This is hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And Jesus said, "There's some of you who don't believe." Well, that's an understatement, because from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. How's that for commitment? Not people who are just vaguely interested, people who were disciples. They were followers and then they unfollowed. And Jesus had to say to his own this close group, do you want to leave me too? And Jesus had to ask the 12, bring in a confession for Peter. But he had to give them the option of leaving because they were finding the light was too bright. So, do you want to look at the light? Do you want to look at Jesus as he is? Well, in your imagination, I want you to join me on top of a hill in Israel, and we're looking down at a crowd gathering around Jesus of Nazareth. And we're hearing lots of things about him. People are telling us all sorts of things. They're saying, oh, have you heard this controversial man from Nazareth? He can override the laws of nature, some people would say. Oh, really? Yes, yeah. He's a great political leader. That's what we think. Oh, right, okay. Yes, I think he's quite a moral man. Well, I've heard that he breaks laws. Oh, really? But he doesn't really know his Bible. He's very good at that. Oh, is he really? Oh, well, I'm not so good at knowing my Bible, but he does. And all this chatter going on about him. What do you do? You can stay where you are because you know as you look down into the valley to this crowd that you've got a lot to get on with. You're busy. A lot of people are looking to you to get things done. You've got to take up your responsibilities and you're responsible for them as well. You've got to get on with life. You haven't got time for all of this. Or are you going to make the time and make your way down the hillside to meet the real Jesus, not the one that they're chattering about, but meet him for yourself. 2,000 years have passed and we come up to date. And, well, by now we've managed to button Jesus down. We've managed to mold him and shape him. So he's just as we like him and he's presentable to those outside the church as well. And he's just right. We have managed to tame Jesus beautifully. Do we know him? Real Jesus as he is? Well, certainly he's enormously influential. We can't get away from that. No one can. That's a little pie chart. There's something very wrong with the pie chart. But the blue there at the top says Christianity. And that's a large portion of the pie chart. Islam is yellow, slightly bigger. These are people who profess to be. Or in a country that's declared itself as Hinduism is green. The dark green is the atheist, non-theist, not believing group, which is not huge. The big block there is the blue block of people, countries who say they follow Jesus. So many acknowledge he's a great man. On that, Islam acknowledges Jesus as a great prophet. Hinduism accepts Jesus as a great religious leader. So there's quite a lot who at least recognize something of the greatness of Jesus. And then we try and commercialize Jesus. So, prosperity, it says there, because God wants us to have more cash. We commercialize him and we make him a leader of a rebellion. Terrorist leader, freedom fighter. Well, we make him, since there, I went into the ministry because I like to, and it's crossed, help people, and it's crossed out as I like to control people. Yes, we like the control, oh dear. And that one there says, Buddha was not a Buddhist, Jesus was not a Christian, Muhammad was not a Muslim, they were teachers who taught love. Love was their religion. Taming Jesus, bringing him more into the shape that we want. Everyone, it seems, wants to tame Jesus because he's just too hard to sell as he is. So what do you want to do? Do you want to join that group hovering around Jesus? Or do you want to keep your distance? Yeah, it's late, you might get in trouble, oh dear. What if I'm recognized? Do you want to be branded a fanatic? Troublemaker? I've been accused of being a fanatic by people who aren't Christians. Of all people, I think that's absolutely amazing. But a fanatic, maybe you could be branded that if you get too wrapped up in this. What are you going to do? You coming down from that hill? Do you want to meet the real Jesus? Let's go down with that group. We go down to that group, and you can do that by reading the Gospels, by going into the Gospel messages, and not just reading a verse and running away, closing the book, but by imagining you're there. What's it really like? What comes next? Which bit came before? So nothing's ever done in isolation. You're getting the picture together. You're reading great chunks of it, great hunks of the Gospels, reading it as it ought to be read, as story, and you're imagining yourself there, the real Jesus. Well, the Gospels will tell us the awkward bits. They'll tell us the awkward bits about Jesus. They'll tell us about how he hangs out with the great and powerful people. And as he does so, well, we read that Herod plied him with many questions. Jesus gave no answer. He met with the rich and famous, and he didn't pander to them. He certainly met with the rich. We know that one rich young ruler, instead of saying, well, maybe you could sponsor my campaign because I've got a fundraising lunch coming up and I need that for cover expenses. No, he wanted to sell all his property, give it away to the poor. Not exactly carrying favour. And when it comes to meeting with opinion formers, he certainly met with those whose opinion really counted. He met with Simon the Pharisee, really influential man, a man of the people, great leader of his community. And he told him off. He told him off when he criticized Jesus for not shooing away a woman who was washing his feet with her hair. And she went away forgiven, and he went away not forgiven. Jesus turned towards the woman and said to Simon, whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. And he never received his forgiveness. The crowds, well, he wouldn't play to the crowds. He said, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. He's meant to make it easy to follow him. Instead, he makes it even harder. He tells them, this is going to be really difficult. Do you want it? Most people say, no, I don't want that. Do you want a harder life? Do you want a harder life? Really? Oh. He's up front with them. As the crowds increased, Jesus said, this is a wicked generation. How to curry favor. Try that at your next political rally. Oh, you're not a political candidate, but imagine you are. And you say, right, and for the next candidate, they're going to put forward their policy, and they look and they go, you are one wicked crowd. Although that's changed its meaning, hasn't it? Wicked means, yeah, really good. But you are an awful, immoral lot. Problem with Jesus. His own disciples found him frustrating. He was teaching them at one stage about the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It was a simple illustration and they couldn't get it. And they were going, oh no, but if you take that literally, it means, oh no, literally it means, and it got all uptight about it. And it was after a long time of Jesus trying to say, go through it with them carefully, that finally they go, oh, I see. You mean the teachings, the yeast is the teaching. Yes. They got frustrated with Jesus and he got frustrated with them, I think, patiently having to step them through it. He didn't pander to those demands, but he made them think and dig deep, made them look at their hearts and their motives, made them look at their understanding and how they understood the Bible, the Old Testament, and how to get to grips with it. He made them really work hard at it and overturn all their old assumptions. Oh dear, a lot of people found that awkward. I had a problem with Jesus. I think we still do. I think we still do, having to really dig deep in our faith and think it through, understand it, put the pieces together, find out what happens when bits don't fit. And the bits don't fit quite often because we don't understand our faith that well. So we have to change something in our thinking so that we understand the Jesus of the Gospels. You know, there were lots of people who opposed Jesus. Guess who loved him most? Guess who loved hearing him most? Guess who the Gospels say he was at home with? It was those very people who were the wrongdoers, the sinners, the tax collectors, all the collaborators with the soldiers of the time and the rulers, the downtrodden, those people no one had time for. They were at home with Jesus right away, it seems. Interesting. We too could be at home with Jesus. We don't need to tame him. We don't need to put a glossy covering around him to be at home with Jesus. Yes, sometimes it will be awkward. Sometimes we'll be stretched to our limit. I tell you, being a Christian for me has stretched me to my absolute limits as God has shaped me and molded me for my good. We could be at home with him. He's Son of God. He's Son of Man. He's a friend of sinners. So, the Jesus who we have often tried to invent, the Jesus who we try to make comfortable for us, many Christians do struggle with. And it might be that if you're struggling with Jesus and what he's like and whether you're really going to give your whole heart to him, it might be that you are struggling with a tamed 21st century version of Jesus, which we've made up. A Jesus where we try to knock off the sharp edges to make him a little more comfortable to hold. And that might be the Jesus that you're not so comfortable with. You need the Jesus with the sharp edges, the Jesus with the difficult bits and the uncomfortable bits, the Jesus who's going to transform you. See, I think if you can get to that Jesus of the Gospels and encounter that Jesus and accept that Jesus, I think you're going to like him. I think you're going to like Jesus a lot. I think you're going to like him much more. See, we read they tried to make him a king in our way of making him a king. What did he do? He broke away from that. They tried to shackle him with all sorts of laws. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't. You're meant to do that. You're meant to do that. And he broke out, broke free, put him in a tomb. He really broke out then, didn't he? Can't keep a good man down. You can't keep Jesus down. Somehow Jesus refused to be tamed. So you're going to take the risk coming down from that hillside. Listen to all the chatter of other people, and you're going to listen to the words of Jesus. Maybe this is a season when you can take a gospel. You're going to read it end to end. That might not be enough for you. Maybe you need to do two gospels. Read them end to end. I would recommend, if you want just a story, read Mark. If you want something a little more than that, read Matthew. If you want something which has got more of the parables in, more of the stories where the involvement of women is a big part of it, read Luke. If you want a totally different take on it, read John. Take a gospel, read it, meet the real Jesus, and enable him to really stretch you. Jesus the light, sometimes uncomfortable, but it's light. It chases the darkness out. Important for us to at least have that. I've read it, I've been there. I talked to a friend this week, and he was saying, he's a Christian, he was at work, and he's at work, this younger man was coming in, and he was telling everyone about his understanding of religion. And he said, yeah, Jesus, I know about him, he was a magician. Yeah, he was, he's a magician. And my friend asked, he said, oh, really? Where did you get that from? Have you ever read the Bible? Oh, no, not done that. No, I just know. I just know he's a magician. There we go. Move on. That was it. Be one of those who's read your Gospels, regularly going back to your Gospels, meeting the real Jesus. And then take your understanding and use it to challenge the things that are pushed your way. When you get a media presentation of Jesus, is that good? Is that inaccurate? Do I need to reject it? Can I enjoy that with art as well? Is it art that communicates those right things about Jesus? It might make you feel comfortable, but is it good? Is this the right Jesus? Or do I drop it or take it? Books I read, preachers I hear, is this the Jesus I am getting to know through those Gospels? One further thing you can do, simply pray. Lord, take away those things I've invented to tame you and come to me in all your glory and power. Make me a person after your own heart. Let's sing one final song together.